We're still safer at home while COVID-19 is present in Massachusetts. Safer at home means people over the age of 65 and people who have underlying health conditions are at high risk for severe COVID-19 and should continue to stay at home except for essential errands, regardless of vaccination status. Tips and resources to help you stay safe at home are available at mass.gov/safer at home.
Hi, I'm Ruthie, host of Out There, here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in.
We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make a stand, baby, me and you, on my rocking bicycle.
And welcome to Out There today. It's Friday, July 1st, the 1st of July. My older sister Sarah used to always say when she was standing next to me, a pinch and a punch for the first of the month. That was how she showed her sisterly love. Anyway, today's July 1st, 2022. Call me un-American, but that PSA that just played, I'd say don't stay home. Go outside if you can to be safe from COVID. Outside, the fresh air. All right, so for today's show, well, I'm live from the Dow studio today, and this is my first time doing Out There from the Dow studio because the mic in the other studio, the new mic, is still dissatisfactory for me. And so here I am trying out this Dow studio, but it's a technical learning curve. But so far, so good. So for today's show, well, I'll have my little observations and stories of the day. And I have a whole bunch of little interviews from my week who I met this week around town in Northampton, such as David talking about his e-bike, Lola Reed, swimming season, it's upon us. Nick talking about drones and stopping armed drones. Rodrigo talking about his visit to the Poor People's Campaign March on June 18th. Shauna and Amy talking about the Frege, and maybe Ellie Wilson-Pierce talking about 7 years post-Federal People and $75,000 in student debt. Not sure how many of those clips we'll get to. Here's the Frege. So it's a Sunday morning, July. I'm so confused about days.
It's
time.
June. Exactly. June 26th.
Yeah. We all have to, like, look. None of us is globally oriented. Yeah. We're close good there.
So we're here outside 8 High Street on the bike path, site of the Frege. It's been almost a year. I'm here with you. Want to introduce yourself?
Hi, yeah. I'm Amy Francis. I live in downtown Northampton.
And I'm Shauna Fischel. I live in Leeds.
And Tony's over there working.
Yep. Doing a great job.
So the Frege, it's been almost a year since you all put it in. Actually, can you tell just briefly what it is?
So the Northampton Community Frege, and that's Frida over there. She wanted to make sure that we don't forget that she's there too. So Northampton Community Frege, or the Free Frege, is actually an international movement of a give-take-share model to share food and pantry goods on the community level. So me and Amy both started thinking about this separately, and during the pandemic, our paths collide. And then about a year ago, we opened it here, and now we're just doing a spring, or I guess summer, build-up.
So it's a combination of plugged-in refrigerator, freezer thing, and food pantry.
Yeah. And other goods. People sometimes leave, cleaning goods or even diapers or other things like that that other members will, community members will find valuable.
What's some of the successes and some of the challenges that you've seen with it in this first year?
That's the thing. There's been a few. Well, a success, I guess, me and Amy are attempting to support others to create this in other communities. I know there's interest in Holyoke that someone wants to speak to us. We haven't really connected yet. And I guess we can share that there's a Girl Scout in Springfields. Mm-hmm. that reached out to us, and I guess we're her mentors to create one in her community.
Cool. Yeah, and every time we come here, there's always something in the fridge or in the pantry. So it's wonderful that people are using it. Clearly, the turnover is happening, and so people are bringing things and taking things as they need, which is wonderful.
Yeah, I know that right now there's a strawberry rhubarb pie in the fridge.
There you go. Yeah, pretty awesome.
Yeah. And yesterday I dropped off, I think on Friday, like a fridge full of lettuce, and Amy added like
tons of carrots.
Yeah. Literally tons of carrots.
And most of it is gone now. Yeah. So between, you know, yesterday and this morning, people were able to grab what they needed. I think the challenges have mostly been like keeping it up through volunteer activism. You know, it's hard. All of us are disparate and working at different hours and whatever else. So, you know, keeping like community power movement going on something like this is, you know, is definitely always going to be a bit of a challenge. And our community is really large. So even though, you know, Shauna living in Leeds and I'm living in downtown Northampton, and neither of us are less than a, you know, 5-minute drive, and certainly a little longer for a bike ride to get here. So, you know, it's just about keeping people up to date about how they can help out and pitch in.
Yeah, and we had some interested volunteers, and it's just life as it is. I think that the pace that Amy and I have taken with the fridge is really one that's intuitive. So even though we have people lined up to sort of help, it takes a while to sort of build this. And I think we're really happy that it lasted the winter. Our fridge from last year, I think the freezer is not always at the freezer's temperature, so we probably don't have a freezer. But things don't last here long, so it's actually better because things come and go. But it lasted, and we're planning on also insulating it so it lasts another winter. So right now we kept two fridges from the landfill as well. Mm-hmm. So there's like the waves might slow to come, but they're continuous.
So in the background, you hear Tony with the drill. What's Tony doing today? What's your all's project? Yeah. What have you been doing this morning?
Yeah, so we realized that the pantry, the way that it was built, just with wood, very quickly had too many insects, vermin, all that sort of thing. So we tried at the end of last summer, like beginning of fall, to put up chicken wire to sort of keep things out. That didn't really do the trick. So then we decided that we're going to switch out the, you know, the wood pantry with its chicken wire and shelving and everything to be a non-working refrigerator so that it has the seals and everything, and hopefully that'll keep things a little better. We're gonna find out. So
yeah, who knew the chipmunks would break open bags of, or boxes of mac and cheese?
Every day. Yeah.
And just like, you know, they do what they do. They take a bite and they don't even finish it. And then you got all these like 5 ripped open boxes of mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hopefully this will improve that we'll have less waste. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the goal of this project in general.
Absolutely.
Really less food waste. Yeah. It's not just about the idea of plenty and sharing that, even though now that it's CSA, I've already gotten messages like, thanks for the reminder. I always have extra CSA vegetables.
Yeah.
Last summer, we really were plenty of food in the fridge. But it's also like, if you need a salad before buying something, just come and see if we have extra.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Our chickens get lots of snacks, too.
Yeah.
For things that are like kind of maybe not quite, you know, human grade quite at this stage or something. Anything else? The unworking fridge that you're putting in to be a critter-proof pantry.
Hopefully. Yeah.
And hopefully weatherproof as well, as it gets really hot or really cold. So even pantry shelf items, some of them need to be in a stable temperature. Mm-hmm. Obviously, our climate is not anything but stable.
So you know how sometimes if you have an old fridge and the door's closed, you open it up and it's like, oh, that smells like old fridge stink. Do you think there could be any ventilation? Or how do you think that will play out?
That's a good question.
we're gonna find out as we go. But hopefully, because it's shelf stable items and it's not like an actual refrigerator, it shouldn't have a problem. It'll be just like, you know, a shelving unit.
Yeah. And I think that we've had many problems and we just deal with them as they come.
Yeah. Lovely. Deal with one, another will come. Sorry.
There you go.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks a lot for doing this project. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So how do you? What's the page, or how do people contact if they want to volunteer?
Right now, go to Facebook, Northampton Community Friedge, FREEDGE, and we're soon, hopefully, going to have a Gmail to be continued.
That's Shauna and Amy talking about the Friedge, the free fridge freezer and food pantry on the bike path outside our house, on my house, my housemate's house, at 8 High Street in Florence, between Straw Ave and Chestnut. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. And today's show, we have lots of clips from the week, my week, in Northampton and Florence. And next... next. Sorry, just having some of the usual technical difficulties trying to figure out how to open up a new window in the computer.
So I was downtown, I ran into my friend. Actually, introduce yourself.
David.
And I saw David sitting on Pleasant Street with his electric bike, his new e-bike. You've been getting around since you got this. How has this changed your life?
Oh, it's changed my life drastically. I'm able to go places I haven't been able to go. I got the e-bike because I'm on oxygen, and I can't ride a regular bike. I was renting the Valley bikes, and I could only go in within the time limits of the Valley bike. Not to say that the Valley bikes aren't an excellent thing, but the Quadrini bike has given me experiences to be able to go places in the woods and hang out and be able to, you know, stop and talk to people. And I've been able to go out of town. Mm. I went to Amherst and back yesterday. I went to Belchertown and back. And went to East Hampton and back today. I've been out probably 10 hours a day as opposed to normally going just to the store and back every day. So it's given me an excuse to go out more. I don't want to go inside now.
Wow.
I can't wait to get the baskets for it, you know, grocery shopping. I can bring it right into my apartment and unload right there. And unlike you can't do that with a car, so...
Right, you could just take it on the elevator or something?
Yeah, I can take it up the elevator right into my kitchen and unload my groceries right in my kitchen without moving a muscle other than, you know, bringing the bike home. So that's an amazing advantage right there.
Wow.
I find a lot of strong advantages over vehicles if you have a car or if you have a motorcycle. You know, you can't use the bike paths, you know, which I can use the bike path with no traffic, save a lot of time and energy. It's highly possible that you could beat a car from here to Amherst on an electrical bike with the speed limit, and no problem because of the traffic and those traffic lights. So it's a wonderful thing.
Do you know the speed limit on the bike path?
20 miles an hour.
20?
You can go 20. Yeah.
And on the Norwalk Rail Trail? Because on the Northampton stretch, I thought it was 12.
You're teaching me something.
You're teaching me something.
Okay. Don't forget that I just got this electric bike. The other bikes were going 12 miles an hour. But no, the guys at Quadrini, they told me that it was 20 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if they know.
Huh. Well, because the Valley bikes, to my understanding, is they have a 12 mile an hour governor on the bike pass. You know, they have a GPS thing on the bike pass. It max out at 12. The electric assist does. But you can pedal faster if you can. I thought, you know, that's what I heard, but when I've ridden the Valley bikes, I thought that I could go as steady as 15, which is usually 15 miles an hour is usually what their motors max out at, right?
Right, yeah, 15, 16 miles an hour. And not to mention that on a regular bike, an average pro amateur rider, you know, usually rides 22 to 24 miles an hour anyway.
Well, so that's like a pro, but.
Well, I was riding pretty. Yeah, yeah,
oh, okay.
No,
okay.
I used to do 36.
What?
Like
okay.
In Philly. Like, yeah, I know.
Okay.
I used to be pretty rapid on my bike, but
yeah, it's real nice to have this e-bike that you have this bike, the vehicle that you don't have to return every 60 minutes or else get charged a fee. That freedom. That
oh, that's
explaining it.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. Like that's one of the biggest things that gets me out the door, and Yeah. I think the only downfall right now is I got to get the cat out, because he's being left alone a lot more. But that's happening next. I am building a cat trailer, and I'm going to add that to it with a pedal assist trailer. So that's another new venture that I'm trying to work on to try to, you know, revolutionize as a pedal assist trailer that keeps up with the bike, that can also have a battery bed on it of 4 batteries that would normally run 1 battery of this bike. So it would be 4 batteries that would run, you know, this bike. So I'd be able to get 4 batteries worth of power and have the pedal assist on the trailer pushing the trailer.
How heavy is that cat?
The cat's 20 pounds of batteries. You know, but I mean, if you figure out this bike can carry me at 270 pounds and it's registered for something like 320. Uh-huh. So if you put a motor on the trailer that's relatively the same, actually the motor I have is more powerful. Uh-huh. And so the motor on with the trailer with the batteries, the trailer should significantly hold 300 pounds.
Uh-huh. Well, that trailer would be pushing you.
Have no problem at all. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So how much do you end up pedaling on the e-bike?
I pedal most of the time. When I very first got it, I was a little throttle happy. I noticed that I was burning up the battery and I was actually not paying attention. I went over the speed limit a couple times and kind of got a little bit self-conscious about, you know, no, I should slow down. And I didn't buy the bike so that I could just have the throttle. I bought the bike so that I could exercise.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm doing with it now. Now I'm very intentive on pedaling. After the very first day that I rode it, I started pedaling and like forcing myself to make sure that I'm always pedal assist.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to keep down at that 20 mile an hour mark.
So when you would bike on a normal bike, you would just be too hard to get the oxygen or what?
Yeah, I can't breathe almost. You know, I can't make it 20 feet on a regular bike without having to stop and having a hard time. There's not a chance. I mean, maybe if I was in high gear, I could get, you know, a block or two, but I would still have any form of resistance at all.
Yeah.
Gives me a little bit of a, you know, a challenge.
Yeah, it would probably have to be a trike or something where you could just go really slow and then sit there.
Another thing that I'm finding, which I do find this time of year normally anyway, but another thing that I am finding is now that I'm out pedaling this bike and I'm not wearing the oxygen so much, because the bike is easy enough to ride that I don't even need to wear the oxygen, where I couldn't even do that with the Valley bikes. And I'm actually wondering if I'm gaining a little bit of physical therapy from this. Like, yeah. I'm wondering if I'm actually, you know, pushing the oxygen tank away from myself, which that would be the ultimate goal anyway. So I'm really happy that that is possible. I'm not getting my hopes up only because last year I wasn't needing the oxygen so much this time of year for some reason. So I don't know whether to get my hopes up or not. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, take it one step at a time.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for sharing, Dave.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna figure out what the speed limits, for sure, what the speed limits are on the different bike paths.
Yeah, I'd like to know that from the get-go. I mean, I have a friend of mine that's pretty articulate when it comes to being a bookworm and following the rules. And he claims that it's 20 miles an hour. So, but, you know, I can't take one person's word for it. So let's find out what it actually is.
Yeah, 20 miles an hour isn't really any speed limit. That's just as fast as you could possibly pedal, basically.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah, good luck. I hope you
get
many miles of happy biking. So, David, you were talking about your electric bike. Electric bikes can be kind of expensive. How much was yours, and how did you afford it?
Well, I went to UMass 5, and they checked my credit, and my credit was, average credit. It wasn't that great, but it wasn't bad. I was carrying a 640 credit score. They did the math and figured out that, you know, I didn't know anybody, anything. I paid all my bills, and they gave me credit for $2,700 towards Quadrini. In my case, it was a special predicament where the bike had costed $3,100. I was only able to get a loan for $27. So I put, you know, I had to pay the extra, the $400, you know, remaining out of my pocket. Because I wanted that particular bike and I wasn't able to get a loan that was high enough for that. But all the other bikes are within that range of 27 and less. At that credit rating of 640, you could get the $2,700 loan and you'd be able to afford pretty much every other bike that they have there. Uh-huh. The Diamond, and the other ones that I don't know the names to. Uh-huh. And this one is the Aero 2. I'm paying $75 a month for 3 years for the $2,700 loan with zero interest. So they're not getting any interest out of you. It's a great deal. I mean, I feel good about it. And if you have better than 640, which I highly recommend that if you have that, take an extra couple months to boost your points up a little bit. And you'll probably get the 3,100, you know, who knows. But yeah.
All right, thanks.
That was David. You'll probably see him riding his bike around Northampton, Florence, Leeds, East Hampton. I don't know how far he's getting, but he's probably getting out. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Oh, yes, David's music request.
It's electric!
Marsha Griffiths. And next, we have Ola Reed.
So So I was picking cherries up in one of my favorite trees in the North Street neighborhood. And I saw a cyclist go by, and sure enough, it was Lola Reed. And Lola reminded me, the swimming season is upon us. Have you been swimming yet this year, Lola?
I've been swimming not very much because it's been so cool, but I have gone a couple of times to a reservoir in South Hadley. And once, just a couple of nights ago, at the Connecticut River.
At night?
Late afternoon, early evening. Yeah.
Nice.
And jumping in, and the current was fairly strong, so it took me a long time to get to the bridge, which was my destination from the place that the rowers go off from, that dock.
Uh-huh. Wait, so you got out a different place than you went in?
No.
Or you went back,
swam up, and then the current stopped being so strong, and I said, oh, that's funny. And I guess I put my feet down to turn around, and here I was standing up. It was, you know, how the river will change depths so easily.
Yeah.
So that was fun. But there are a couple of other places that I like to go. There's, of course, the one near Smith College that used to have a rope swing. So many places used to have a rope swing.
Uh-huh.
No, there was the other one is the Ashfield Lake.
Oh yeah.
And there's a place up in Hatfield that's really, really cold water that's been dammed up by the residents, and it's not really, you can't, it's too small to really swim in, but but we can really get cool, so I go there when it's really, really hot.
Is that like attached to the Connecticut River, or is it a different river?
No, it's just, it's probably, I don't know, a branch of the Westfield. I really don't know.
Huh. Yeah. For people who haven't been swimming in the Connecticut, how deep is it, the place where you go?
Oh, well, it changes depth so easily. But when I jumped off of the dock, I went under. So it was probably, I don't know, 8 feet, something like that.
Uh-huh. What do you love about swimming?
I just like getting wet and getting some exercise, and I like, a lot of times I like to just lie on my back and, or even, you know, do a backstroke and look up at the sky and watch some birds go by and admire the clouds.
That's awesome. Thanks, Lola.
Yes, it is swimming season. I think usually 4th of July seems to kick it off in New England. And today, let's see, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, is Friday. 3 o'clock this afternoon when I came through downtown, the thermometer said 97 degrees. But it was only 92 degrees when I got back home to my house in Florence. Mm-hmm. Asphalt. Is that one of the 7 words you can't say on the radio? Asphalt? Because that stuff is so hot. So hot, such a hot heat sink this time of year. If you're ever thinking about depaving, this is a great time to do it. Yep, that stuff, we depaved our driveway years ago, and it came up with a pick and a sledgehammer and lots of friends having a big party. I'm telling you, a driveway pavement, it's not as permanent as you think. And if you need help depaving, call me, 586-8031. So you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. When I got started on this show, my technical difficulties distracted me from the stories and comments and observations of the day that I was going to start out with, which, things that I've noticed. One of the things I've really appreciated lately is the courteous Northampton drivers. Like, I just want to say thanks to just, like, so many drivers that I see when I'm biking around. Like, a lot of times I'm hauling a really heavy trailer full of trash, and I can't pull out very fast. Like, say I'm trying to pull out across Route 9 or Elm Street with a fully loaded trailer, and it's like, I need a break in traffic, like a quarter mile long in both directions. But fortunately, people usually stop and wave me through, which is nice, but just make sure you only do it on a one-lane road, not where there's like a two-lane road where someone can, or like not like a four-lane road where someone can swerve around you, because they're like, what's this person stop for? And don't stop suddenly please, because I've seen people get rear-ended when they stop to wave me through. What else? Oh, yeah. Oh, I ran into some mulberries today when I was in the middle of my pedal people route. They were such a blessing. I was like halfway through my day, and it's like, you know, 90-some degrees, and then there's this tree just dropping mulberries right where I'm doing a pickup. They just feel so nourishing to eat, like manna from heaven. Let's see. Oh, also, I saw a cherry tree, a tart cherry tree, loaded with cherries. It was just like out of a picture book. This was down on Wright Ave today, and I was picking up at the house, and so I ate a few, and then I knocked on the door, and the person who was living there came. I know the landlord, so I think it was just a tenant, it was a tenant who was living there, and so I said something to her. I was like, wow, that's an amazing cherry tree, and she's like, where? I said, right there on the corner with the cherries all over it. And she was like, oh, I never noticed. I was like, oh, you never eaten them? And she was like, no, what are they like? Are they sour? Are they sweet? I'm like, oh, well, I don't know. They're both. You should try them. And I was like, well, can I pick them? And she's like, sure. So keep your eyes open, because to be honest, I had never noticed that cherry tree before today. There's so many things to notice in the world, you know? Like, millions of atoms and everything in every which direction, three-dimensional, and I don't know how many dimensions there are. Anyway, I'm really tuned into the fruit falling from the sky dimension. Oh yeah, on a hot day like today, I recommend the drink that I've been guzzling down, that I recommend is, I think people call it switchel. Take a quart jar with water and a heaping spoonful of honey and a heaping spoonful of apple cider vinegar and a pinch of salt. Shake that up. Guzzle that. That's a good thing on a day like today. Here's Eddie Grant. Just because I like to hear him and I think he's cute.
Avenue.
And then we'll take it higher. Hey, we
Electric Heaven.
Rock it in the night.
Get higher. Electric Heaven.
Rock it in my yummy bum
mummy. Electric Heaven.
Eddie Grant's from Trinidad. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Out There airs Fridays from 4 until 5, and followed by Democracy Now! Up at 5. And I'm kind of laughing because I'm trying to talk into the mic and operate the computer at the same time and play my next clip, but I'm in the Dow studio, which the computer is a little bit different from what I'm used to. And so there's all these windows, and I'm like, okay, is my file in the one that says Kingston? Is it the one that says Out There? Is it the one that says Audacity or Windows Media Player or iTunes? Where's my file that I'm trying to play next? It's a little humorous, so I found it.
All right, so it's Monday, June. You want to know what the date is?
The 28th? Oh,
it's the 27th.
27th, June 27th, 2022. I'm doing my pedal people route downtown, and there were a couple of guys that were just waiting patiently for me to come out of the place where I was picking up. And this is Nick. Nick, what's your last name?
Nick Mottern.
And what's your name?
George. George Gersey.
All right. And Nick, it turns out we have a friend in common.
Yes, we have a friend called Kathy Kelly, who is a wonderful person and very much of a peace advocate and a witness and a person who really has taken a lot of risks, physical risks in Iraq, Afghanistan, other places, to bring the stories of the people in those places to this country that's been so responsible for harming those people. So she told me to look up Ruthie, and I said, okay, well, here she is. So.
Yeah, because I met Kathy from my Catholic Worker days in Chicago. Did you just move from Chicago?
No, I moved from New York up here almost a year ago now. And Kathy and I work on a campaign called BanKillerDrones.org. And our purpose is to build an international campaign to stop putting weapons on drones. And so we work in this country with protests at drone bases, and we reach out to people in other places, right now with Germany especially.
If people want to find out more or get involved.
All right, kids.
You're blocking the door.
Yeah. Well, you have to just go to our website called Ban, B-A-N, Killer, K-I-L-E-R, Drones, D-R-O-N-E-S, .org.
All right, thanks. Well, thanks for
stopping.
Oh, the volume's on that. I kept sliding the laptop button down and nothing happened. Laptop, PC, it's all just so confusing.
Rodrigo, you went to the Poor People's Campaign March in Washington, D.C. yesterday?
Yes.
Wow.
It was amazing.
How did you get there?
I was invited for the community workers from Vermont, the Assembly of Poor People and Low Wage for the Moral Revival and PUT.
What did you like about the event yesterday?
Seeing the people from this United States, the poor people, workers, farmers, all the different organizations from left and down, like see the people front to front and can hear the, how can I say,
las
diferentes consignas que tiene la gente trabajadora de este país, como la consigna de el healthcare, housing is healthcare, and healthcare is a human right, should be for all. Y esto me llegó muy, muy profundo por ser alguien que no tiene una casa propia. Y otras consignas como stop robbing us, don't tax the rich. Just stop, don't robbing us. It was so good. Y gente de todo el país llegó en autobuses. Fue muy emocionante ver llegar los estandartes de gente de Alabama, Louisiana, Ohio, Kentucky, New York, far away from California. Y escuchar discursos de la gente, líderes de las comunidades, líderes religiosos, líderes de movimientos sociales, como la gente que no tiene derecho a voto y reivindica su derecho a votar aunque hayan sido encarcelados. Mm-hmm. Fue muy emotivo por yo no tener derecho a voto en este país.
También me you said that there was Spanish translation, Spanish subtitles during the speeches.
Right, you all have closed captions and American language, signal language,
sign language,
and translation, interpretation in the moment, Spanish, English. Some of the discourses don't even need, because it was so emotive discourse that doesn't need translation. They're talking about injustice, they're talking about movement, social movement, and everyone can hear this, movimiento social, justicia para la gente. It's just hard language that anyone can understand. Beautiful. It was so warming. Heartwarming.
Yeah. Anything else you'll say?
Solamente paz y justicia social, camaradas. Gracias. Rodrigo Porrúa, de México.
A couple of the things that Rodrigo said in there in Spanish was about how touched he was by the people advocating for like fair housing and stuff. He said because I don't have a house, he said. And then people advocating for the right to vote, especially people who've been incarcerated and then have been released, he said, because I don't have the right to vote, he said. And that was the Poor People's Campaign March on June 18th, 2022 in Washington, D.C. Lots of buses went down there. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. The computer clock says 4:42. And I have an interview with my friend, Allie Wilson-Pierce, coming up. This is Tim Blessed from the Juneteenth celebration in Amherst on June 18th, I believe.
No time to debate, new life to create, true and living. I'm building precision in God's likeness. I'm disciplined, driven musician and super nitrous. Hey, yo, I gotta like this righteous consciousness that burns bread and kid Icarus. You a Greek myth, I'm a physicist, sick of this. Most of these rappers, the cigarettes, the corny, cancerous and full of ish. I spit spaceships into galactic alchemists. I put them up, yeah, all the way up, that's right. Ten bless ya, all the way up, that's right. Less energy, nothing can stop this. You know that we got this. We all the way up, that's right. Ten bless ya, all the way up, that's right. Less energy, all the way up, that's right. We got this, nothing can stop this. You know that we got this. We all the way up, yeah. You can cut that real quick. All the way up, yeah. All the way up. Yeah, make some noise out there, Amherst.
Yeah. Let's go.
Everybody in the spot, put your hands up. My name's Tim Bless. I'm here to give you what you want. Now put your hands up and keep your hands up. Now wave them crazy like wah, wah, wah. While everybody in the spot, put your hands up. My name's Tim Bless. I'm here to give you what you want. Now put your hands up and keep your hands up. Now wave them crazy like wah, wah, wah. While B.E., y'all know, don't be screwing the show. Professional, by now you should know. I be like, shut your pie hole. Nobody went solo. We stronger than ever, added up. Here's the total. Subtract the fiction from the factual. We stay classical MCs, like to use the word dramatical. See, let's be what KRS is, the PDP. And Prince, what Lauryn Hill is, the Fugees. I span cool like Ice Cube in the Ice Teeth. You don't wanna fight me, all your haters, y'all can bite me. Beat me, unlikely, sucker free nightly. Your whole family, they love me. Ask a wifey, prefer Pumas over Nikes. Boxers over tidy whities. Real hip-hop over drug dealing hip-hop. Mic me so I can talk with Oprah about the soul of the soldier holding the weight of the globe on his shoulder. Said it over 59s, blessed versus chastised. Over 18 pods, and said it's over. Drinking eyes, blessed versus chastised. Over 18 pods, everybody in the spot, put your hands up. My name's Tim Bless. I'm here to give you what you want. Now put your hands up, keep your hands up. Now wave them crazy like what? Everybody in the spot, put your hands up.
That I was doing a pedal people route for someone else that involves a pickup of the dog poop at Fitzgerald Lake. Rod Brook Coalition organized that and faced pedal people for that. So I bicycled up to the Cook Ave entrance of Fitzgerald Lake, and who should I see walking up the road baby in bosom, but my old co-worker, Allie Wilson Pierce. Great to see you, Allie.
Great to see you, Ruthie, always.
So I said, forget pedal people for a while. Let's go take a walk in the woods.
This is what I miss about pedal people.
So, Allie, you have a child there in your carrier. Who you got there?
This is Liam Grimaldi Pierce. Mm-hmm. He is about 10 weeks old, a little over 2 months. Best decision I've ever made. Mm-hmm. Best 2 months of my life.
Ah, I'm so glad to hear. We were doing a little flashback about pedal people and how that wasn't the best fit for you in your life at that time. Anything else you want to say about that?
Be more specific. I could say whatever. No,
it was a great fit for you, like, collective-wise. You're such an awesome collective person. Like, Allie became a social worker because her skills, like, group process and group, like, consensus and just listening to people and all that is so great. But the brutality of hauling trash on a bike day after day, slogging down the same streets all year round. How was that?
Yeah, the logistics were challenging for me. It was hard on my body and it was hard for me to be able to take care of myself, you know, well enough to be able to make it work. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I also left because I wanted stability. You know, I wanted to be able to have more income and be able to do different things. And so I became a social worker and, you know, luckily was able to get a job at the VA, which is a big system. So during the last 6 years, I've been able to work 3 different positions within the system, or I'm going into my 3rd now. But, you know, as I was saying to you a little while ago...
This is what inspired me to turn on the mic, bet.
Yeah, well, what I was saying to you before is that, well, there are things about it that I also really miss. And there are ways in which I can feel trapped in the job that I have now, because, you know, I'm on track for student loan forgiveness, which is available to some people, and they've expanded the program. Luckily, the Biden administration has expanded it in a number of ways. But in order to qualify, you have to make 120 qualifying payments, which are, you know, based on your income every month for 10 years, which is 120 payments. And so, you know, this great job that I have now, I don't feel like I can leave, you know, because in addition to the benefits, you know, I'm also working in an organization that that qualifies, and I have to be working full time and making payments based on my income in order to have my loans forgiven.
And how old are these loans?
Well, my undergraduate loans are, I'm 36 now, so I'm not great at math, but, you know, the first loans I took out, I was 18. I went to UMass. I took out the minimum that I could afford. I don't actually remember how much it was. I made payments on those for a couple years after I graduated, before I went into forbearance on those while I went to grad school. So having gone to a state graduate school, Westfield State for Social Work, and I took out more loans than I probably had to, so that I could, you know, work only part-time doing pedal people while I was in school. And so, anyway, I have $75,000 in debt after completing my master's degree. And that number has not gone down since I started working full-time in 2017. And that is including the interest being on hold for the last 2 years during the pandemic, payments being on hold. So anyway, if you have student loan debt, none of this will be unfamiliar to anybody, that, you know, because of the way the interest works and what the interest rates are, you know, people don't actually start seeing the principal of their balance go down for many, many years most of the time.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm just wondering how much money you've paid to still be at $75,000.
I'm glad I don't know. I could do the math for you at some point and get back on you. It's not nearly as much as some. I'll tell you, I have a friend that her monthly payment was $1,100.
Monthly?
Monthly.
My gosh.
Also, I mean, when I got married a year and a half ago, and they now base it on family income. So even though I'm the one with the debt and I'm the one that's paying the loans back, my loan payment, you know, has gone up because it's calculating her income into the equation as well.
Uh-huh. And now you have a baby too.
Right, right. So, yeah, I mean, my financial situation is changing significantly, you know, now actually starting in October when the student loan payments kick back in and when I have to start to figure out childcare.
Okay. So, this all sounds rather demoralizing. How do you deal with that?
It is demoralizing. I'll tell you something, though. This baby brings me so much joy. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody knows that when they have a baby, it's going to be a pay cut. It's going to have a lot of expenses. We're, you know, here walking at the path to Lake Fitzgerald and, you know, living a few minutes away from such a beautiful area is definitely something that helps. You know, having a wonderful partner and very supportive community. You know, I don't feel like I have to deal with all these challenges alone. But it's not without struggles, you know, at the same time. Yeah. I'm fortunate. I'm very fortunate to be a social worker at the VA, who is hiring, by the way. A lot of open positions right now, and there aren't usually. And I could be a social worker making a lot less money than I am now. And being able to make the income that I do have, you know, allows me to take care of myself in other ways that I wouldn't be able to otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I imagine also, too, I mean, you talked about having the baby, just sort of changing things, that the different set of priorities. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, you know, my work is going to be secondary to my family life. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to have my career be like the center of my life as it, you know, has been more so in the last several years.
Thanks, Sally. Anything else you want to say?
No, it's always so nice to run into you and to be reminded of your radio show. And yeah, to be able to, you know, get a chance to, you know, chat about life and remember some of these potentially difficult but also awesome experiences I've had as I reflect back on my life in my 20s.
Allie Wilson Pierce on Out There here on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, and Out There airs Fridays from 4 until 5. This is WXOJLP 103.3 FM. You can listen to archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there. I'm hearing some fuzz in the background. I have no idea what it is. Sounds like it's pouring rain in the studio. It's actually not. It's dry in here. Democracy Now! Is up 5. I don't know what else I was going to say. Ultimate Frisbee in Haydenville, 6 o'clock Friday nights. Bring your darks and lights, colors. I guess I'll play another song because I forgot what else I was going to say. I promised stories, but I'll play Aretha Franklin. But the song was supposed to be for a story. We'll just listen to Aretha. Yeah, that's a good 4th of July song. July 4th is coming up on Monday, and that's a good time for lots of people to have freedom. And what can I say about July 4th? I really appreciate all the freedoms that I have. And one of the freedoms, one more freedom I want to seize is top freedom, equal nudity standards. So I'm thinking about a July 4th ride. We'll see. Well, maybe on next week's Out There, I'll give you an update of that. Thanks for tuning in this week, and I hope you enjoy Democracy Now!